Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Eve Rosemary, part one. She'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Eve Rosemary. She is the creator and host of the podcast, The Everyday Saint. So tonight, we're talking about sanctity. We're talking about the spiritual life. We're talking about her own story, about how she's on fire for Jesus today.
We're now going to a reflection with Eve Rosemary.
One of the things that I love to share during my presentations is definitely my love for the Eucharist, which we get to talk a little bit about, but I wanted to leave you with this reflection, and that's when you look at the scriptures, when Jesus teaches about the Eucharist for the first time to thousands and thousands of people who are following, starting to follow his message, and you hear him teach the teaching that whoever eats my flesh or drinks my blood will have eternal life. This is the first time that we see people leave Jesus at something that he taught. And Jesus continues to preach this. He doesn't, change his mind and say, oh no, that's not what I meant. Instead, he doubles down and says, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever eats my flesh or drinks my blood has eternal life. And this is really important, but what I want to really focus on is then after Jesus teaches this, sees so many of the people that he loves walk away from him. He turns to his disciples and he asks them, will you also leave me? And that's when Simon Peter says to him, Master, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And I find this really interesting because Simon Peter's response, Master, to whom shall I go? I think communicates to us that Jesus is our ultimate fulfillment, and that Simon Peter has experienced something that's so profound from God that he can't go anywhere else to experience this fulfillment. Even thinking about the disciples, they left everything behind to follow Jesus. Why? Why would they do that? I think it's because Jesus offers us something different than anything else we will ever know, anything else that we will ever experience, because he's the greatest love that we have. So I think we need to ask ourselves to turn to Jesus and to say, Master, to whom shall I go? We need to have that confidence that Jesus has the fulfillment, that we can turn to him and know that there's nowhere else that we need to go.
Well, Eve Rosemary, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
And you actually, well, you got our attention with the Everyday Saint podcast, and you actually did a show right at the Shrine. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the show, how the format of it works, and your experience at the Shrine.
Definitely. The Everyday Saint podcast started my sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had growing up in an environment in a school where I was known as the Jesus girl at my Catholic school. And then upon getting to college, that's where I found that there were other people my age actually taking their faith seriously. I went to Benedictine, which is just a phenomenal Catholic college. And so I was no longer known as the Jesus girl because that's what everyone was doing at college. And right. I was just so impressed by that. And at the same time of meeting these people, I was also getting into podcasts myself, but I found that I couldn't really relate to a lot of the mm-hmm. podcasts that I was listening to. The guests on it were people who were well established in their careers, who knew what they were doing with life. Yeah. As a sophomore in college, that was not my case, and not the case of many people around me. And so that's really what the inspiration was for the Everyday Saint podcast, was then I interviewed these college students that I was going to school with, that I met mm-hmm. when I was going to daily mass, that I saw at dinner. Really, at Benedictine, I probably could have pulled off anyone from the street and had a great interview with them about their faith life, just because they're really inspirational. And so throughout college, I was able to feature these people, their stories, their faith journeys, how they got to know God as young people, so that other young Catholics can inspire young Catholics.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because it's an audio podcast, at least what I saw. So why didn't you go the video route? I guess it's a lot more work, but it's an interesting choice. I thought audio, with today's culture, everything's TikTok and it's very video driven.
Yeah, so I'm actually just starting to dip into more YouTube videos with that in the podcast. But for so long, honestly, my podcast was shot in my college dorm room. I didn't have a lot of room at one point, and it was on a college student budget. Right. Nonetheless, at one point I needed to raise my microphone a little bit more so you could hear guests better. Yeah. And all I had on hand was a garbage can, so I had to flip over this garbage can and put the microphone on top. So space-wise, maybe it didn't work quite so well for a video, but now that I've just graduated from college in December, now I'm able to invest maybe a little bit more in some of those podcast equipment and the video aspect of things. So I'm starting to do some of those videos, especially with my new series, which is all about Pope St. John Paul II, which was in conjunction with the St. John Paul II Shrine in Washington, D.C. We were able to do a whole production with that. And I have some really exciting things coming up with the Everyday Saint podcast that I'm able to incorporate a lot more of that video. But I'm also very active on social media. The Everyday Saint on Instagram in the last 2 years has had over 16,000 followers, a couple viral videos on it that is more of maybe that lifestyle, day-to-day interaction, reflections on the faith life there.
Right, right. And what was your experience at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament?
Oh, it was amazing. I was just telling some people about it backstage because when I had gone, I was so excited. You know, it's February. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm in Alabama, excited for this warm weather. We went on the coldest day, like record-breaking cold temperatures in Alabama that day. But nonetheless, it was really beautiful. And to be here, I was really touched in particular by Mother Angelica's story when I had visited the shrine and just how this cloistered nun was able to build such as an empire in the media space. And I took a lot of inspiration from that as someone who's trying to make space for Catholic media, especially on social media right now. And I see Mother Angelica definitely as a trailblazer when it comes to that. And she led the way so that now I can hopefully lead a way for people to experience God and the presence of God's love, even digitally on social media, on Instagram, on TikTok. And I had done this tour with the Most Blessed Sacrament Shrine as part of the Everyday Saint podcast as well. This last semester, I traveled 20,000 miles all over the country. I used shrines as my roadmap along the way. So the Most Blessed Sacrament Shrine was one of over almost 30 shrines that I visited in the course of these 3 months and was able to feature on the Everyday Saint podcast. And then while I was visiting these shrines, I also reached out to schools, parishes, youth groups in the area. And then I spoke to the teens in those areas about chastity, pure relationships, and really finding their identity in God.
Is there like certain themes, like you go to a shrine of Therese or the John Paul II shrine? Is there like a theme sometimes you like to hit or you like to look at or what fascinates you or draws you or you feel like is your mission to unveil?
I think when I was touring a lot of these shrines, something that really stuck out to me was how near sainthood is to us. I think in the United States, it seems like Catholicism and this beauty and this richness seems very far. Like you have to go on pilgrimage to Rome or to Lourdes or to these really grand places that just have the history, right? But going to these different shrines, I mean, there are some really beautiful places to experience God and His love here in the United States, that God is here with us. And especially to note is Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. I actually grew up near this shrine, but that's a Marian apparition in the United States. And I think even more so, it just proves like Mary is here with us, God is here with us, even in the United States, even when everything seems crazy to us and so diverse, yet here are these places of refuge, of serenity, where we can go and see God's handiwork playing out.
Right. And I think to designate a shrine, you know, it takes the recognition from the church and things like that. So I think you have the treasury of the church's indulgences or graces, you know, behind it. So these are places of grace that we can go. And, you know, we can, I guess the temptation, you don't have the actual saint wasn't here, his body wasn't here, but you could have relics probably and things like that.
Well, and you do have some shrines too that, I mean, Mother Cabrini is in New York City. There's Blessed Stanley Rother. He's in Oklahoma City. There's
the Seton Shrine and and Emmitsburg has her body there.
It does. St. John Newman is in Philadelphia. I mean, there are saints here too. It's incredible. And oftentimes we don't even know to look for it. I mean, some of those places might be in people's backyards and it's just a couple of hours even away from them that they can go visit themselves.
So you're, one of your drives is that, hey, sanctity is close to us, it's possible. And these shrines remind us, and you know, we can get grace at these places to make a pilgrimage, to make that effort to get there. And so you're early 20s, right out of college, you really hit the ground running, and you were known as a Jesus girl in high school. What happened? What catapulted you into this?
Yes, you know, it's so fun to look back on, I think, because I grew up going to a Catholic school. Some of my earliest memories are sitting in a church in elementary school, like first grade. I think it was adoration. I don't really know looking back on it. I just remember sitting in a church, and I went to St. Bernadette Elementary School, so I remember sitting there and praying and saying, God, please help me see Mary. Like, please let me see Mary, because then I'll be the coolest kid in class. And I'll never ask for anything again in my entire life. And then, you know, I'd come back the next week, God, please give me a dog, because then I'll be the coolest kid in class, and I'll never ask for anything again in my entire life. You know, I have these memories of God being very present to me, but I think as we got older and as my family got busy, faith wasn't as big of a priority, and it definitely wasn't as big of a priority for me, even though I was going to a Catholic school. God was there, but he was just someone that I learned about in my religion classes. And then my sophomore year of high school was when I had a really great theology teacher, and she just, you walk into her classroom and you know that there's something different about her. There's something different about the presence of being in that class. And she was really one of the first people that I could see how her faith impacted her life and how it changed it. And just the way that she spoke, it started opening up my heart to experiencing and getting to know God a little bit more. And then after that sophomore year of high school, my junior year of high school was really when my faith took a turn for the best. And that's because I went on a retreat. And going on this retreat was the first time I think that I experienced the love of God. So I'd had this knowledge of him, but then going on that retreat was where I actually realized that the faith wasn't just something that I learned about. God wasn't just someone that I heard or was taught about, that there was so much more to the faith life, and that it was actually a life of joy and a life of peace. And God, you know, he promises us life and life in abundance. And I think that's the first time that I really experienced that on the retreat. I just remember sitting there and like crying, because I think I'd been in a place where I was searching for love and looking for love and not feeling loved. And that love that I was always looking for, it was right under my nose the whole time, right? Like, I knew that God was real, but that retreat was really where it implanted in my heart that God was real.
Was it something that was said or adoration or something that made you experience it at that moment? Or
I don't know. I think it was just kind of this unveiling where it just all made sense. Like, I just remember sitting there and it just like, all made sense. We were listening to a song. I don't even know what song it was. I don't even know what room I was in. Honestly, it was just kind of this moment of like, okay, and experiencing God's love. And then this retreat was a couple days long. You stayed overnight. And I think then throughout the rest of my time there, we had more conversations about God. And I just was able to think about him for the first time, I think, is really what it was. Like, I was really actually reflecting on my faith, and maybe that's really what helped me realize how much I needed to take it seriously. And then, I mean, really the rest is history. From there, I actually started posting on TikTok about my faith. I started sharing reflections that I was having. I was just so on fire. And that's really where the Jesus Girl title came into play there, was because I just started talking about it, and people started seeing that change in me, started asking me questions. And then as people started asking me questions, I had to learn more. And actually at that point, I was set to have a full ride to the University of Alabama, and I wanted to work in the United Nations, and I ended up turning that scholarship down to instead study theology at Benedictine. And now here I am as a chastity speaker wanting to continue to spread that love of God.
Well, that's great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Eve Rosemary. Well, Eve, I love that point about just this moment of reflection. I find that true in my life. If I just pause, you know, there's that expression too, just be where your feet are at. You know, we can be so scattered. I think it's like Mother Angelica would talk about, be in the present moment. That's where we meet God. But still, just to pause and maybe just reflect, think, ruminate in a good sense of what God's doing in my life, that he's present, he's here, he's providing for me, he's real. You know, he's got a plan. And sometimes we could just be in the future and fear and regret from the past. And it sounds like that's kind of what you did a little bit at that retreat.
I think so. Yeah. I definitely think it was just a moment of seeing where I was at and seeing that the life that I was living without God, it's not fulfilling at all, mm-hmm. right? The only life with God can bring the ultimate fulfillment. And I think when I talk to teens, that message seems to really resonate with them, because you can tell they're just starting to have these reflections a lot of the times for the first time of, where am I at in life? What am I doing? Right. You know, everything in front of me is a big question mark. What's my vocation? What am I supposed to do in life? Where am I supposed to go to college? What am I supposed to study? Like, those are all big question marks mm-hmm. in high school students' lives. And so when I even go and I give these talks to them, I spend the first half of the talk just talking about identity and this kind of self-reflection that I had on this yeah. retreat, to spread that this identity that they're searching for, the things that they're looking for in their life, all of it is found in the love of God. If we just take a moment and recognize how much He loves us, actually start taking our faith seriously. And I make the assurance, like, once you start doing that, you won't look back, because there's no way to. Once you know that there's this fulfillment out there, how could you ever look back from that?
That is the greatest peace and joy, you know, that communion, that relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And once you taste that and you want to go deeper into that, and it can really help us to put the kingdom first, right? To put Jesus mm-hmm. first in our life. And you were just telling me that you just graduated from Benedictine in May, right?
Yes.
And now you're looking at moving to DC area. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I admire your confidence. Is that sort of a natural way for you, or is that just following the Lord's inspiration, or?
Yeah, I think following the Lord's inspiration. I grew up, my mom's an entrepreneur. Okay. I grew up watching her, look towards her dreams and her goals and strive for them. Even as a young person, I was involved in a lot of things. I did Miss America when I was younger too. I was Miss Wisconsin's teen in 2021. Mm. Went to Miss America's teen. I always have had these big, lofty goals, I think. And now I see how these little seeds and passions in my life of, you know, doing Miss America, doing speech and debate in high school, all of these experiences are leading me to where I'm going now. And you can go out and do things, but it's also, as we were just saying, taking that time for reflection. So while I have maybe big goals at times, mm-hmm. I also find so much comfort in going to adoration, in particular in Eucharistic adoration, and trying to follow where God is leading us from there.
Right. And you speak of adoration as being like the bread and butter of your... Talk
I
about
always
that.
Make that joke. The bread and butter of my prayer life, adoration. I really developed this love for adoration in college, because Benedictine has a 24/7 chapel there, and it's in a beautiful church. And I think adoration is just one of those places. It's silence, it's reflection, it's when else do you get to sit before God and just exist and ask Him who you are, ask Him what He thinks about what you're doing, to contemplate. We don't get that ever. And I think I've experienced that, especially as a 21-year-old. We grew up in a COVID era when everything was virtual, and here the Eucharist is, God knows that we're beings who need to touch, to feel, to experience. And that's what I think a lot of the Eucharist is. It's this time where we get to touch, feel, experience God most intimately in the Eucharist. You can't replace that.
Yeah. I was just reading a quote by Carlo Acutis, and he talked about, as we go before the sun, you know, we get a suntan. When we go before Jesus in the Eucharist, we become saints.
That's beautiful.
I think that's a great thing to tell young people. It's like Mother Angelica would say, just come in silence before the Eucharist, you know? And obviously we want to pray, engage, meditate, and all of that, however we're led. But to realize sometimes it's okay just to be silent, right? Just to place ourselves before the Lord and receive from Him all that He wants to give us. And as the source and summit of our faith life, right? And this is the preeminent, the greatest prayer is the Mass, and it's the most grace that we can receive at every at communion. And this is extending that grace of communion, right, in every adoration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I've seen just the power of it. There was a talk that I was able to give
a few months ago. And part of this, they had a whole like youth night. So I gave a little testimony talk at the beginning, and then they all went to praise and worship and adoration afterwards. And at the very end of their praise and adoration, I was in the back. They wanted me to sit and pray with the teens, so I was able to do that a little bit too with some of that ministry. But what really stuck out to me about this night was at the very end, the priest wanted to do kind of a group benediction, but instead of staying by the altar, he came down and invited any teens that wanted to come down closer to the Eucharist to do so while he did the benediction. Mm-hmm. And this group of 50 to 70 middle school and high school students flocked to the Eucharist, and they all knelt before it, and they were singing praise and worship. And I was just like sitting in the back, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, look at how Jesus just draws people to him.
Right.
Like, there's nothing to explain that. It's when you're in the presence of the Eucharist, it's like you never want to leave. You just keep getting drawn closer and closer and closer.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do a second show with you. We're going to continue more with the Eucharist and the content of your talks and things for the next show. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, I enjoyed my conversation with Eve. She's hard to keep up with. Talks about twice as fast as I do. But what struck you about it?
You know, there was a line that she had, that sanctity is close to us. And I think as Catholics, that's something we can really, I think, put into focus, especially with the sacraments, you know, and how the church makes that accessible to us through our ministers, especially confession. Of just a lot of times we need a renewal, just kind of a fresh start. And, you know, and God is there waiting for us. To really enter into that life of grace, and that we can go out. And we see that, as you know, in her own life, of how the Lord really impacted her in high school, you know, and it's, you know, she's really responded and kind of gone out there just charging. Yeah. And I think that's a great thing, just having that, to be in tune to God's graces.
Right. I was struck by that moment too. She, on that high school retreat, and she didn't have like a moment, but just reflecting on kind of the bigger picture. And I think that is so powerful in prayer. And you could just maybe like go an inch deep and just pause and just think, okay, maybe it's maybe something you're struggling with right now. And to bring it to Jesus in prayer and listen a little bit. Maybe he's trying to talk to us, so just receive grace. Or maybe a particular topic or something you're struggling with, you can look up a scripture passage on that and pray with that passage. But just to pause a moment in our very busy, hectic lives and give God a chance to break into our hearts. Right?
I do like the story that she told when she was a kid praying about, God, you know, if you do this, you know, I'll never ask again. And how easy that is to fall into, even as an adult, you know, of, you know, just this one thing. Just this, you know, and then my life will be complete, kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, there's a growth there and a development of, you just our walk with the Lord, you know, and how God's going to move us in different directions, you know, and he's building us up, you know, he's drawing us out of ourselves. And it's just, it's interesting just to hear that, of how far she's come along.
Well, it's true. There is that one thing that'll put our life together, that'll make sense of it for us. And that is Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. She reminds us of that. So may we all seek him with all our hearts and try to give this obedience of faith to him. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he send his Holy Spirit into your hearts with every good gift and grace. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. You can't.